Good morning, all, and welcome to the 2017 annual results of the AXA Group, presented by Thomas Buberl, CEO, Jacques de Peretti, Managing Director of AXA France, and Gérard Harlin, Deputy CEO and CFO. You will be able, of course, to ask your questions at the end of the presentation, thanks to the webcast, but of course, priority will be given to the questions in the room. Now the floor to Thomas Buberl.
Thank you, Julien. Welcome, all. I am delighted to see you here this morning and to welcome you with Gérard Harlin and Jacques de Peretti, my colleagues. I would also like to begin by commenting results. As you have seen, the 2017 performance we have shown is excellent. This performance comes after 2 years of change. In 2016, we, of course, saw the change in the governance of AXA and as well the change in the CEO. In 2017, we have made significant strategic choices for ourselves as regards focus on countries, focus in our different business areas, but also in terms of simplification to be closer to the customer. The numbers you can see on the screen are the first wave of the outcomes of these strategic choices, and I am extremely proud that we are able today to present to you and to the market numbers that are excellent. As regards, of course, our underlying earnings, we are stable because our strategic choices focused our energies on several sectors and to boost growth towards health, protection, and P&C insurance for enterprises. If we now look at the operational results of 2017, they stand at +7%, a very strong result, and the net income stands at +8%. All of this on the basis of an extremely stable balance sheet with a solvency ratio of 205%, +8 points. All of these results have convinced the board yesterday to increase distribution of dividend at 1.6 per share. If we now look where these results come from, we can see that it is essentially a distribution of results that is quite balanced and robust because all of our geographies have contributed to this growth. It is this format presenting the slides in terms of geographies is a new approach for us and for you, but this clearly points to our decision to change the way in which we approach our customers and to take into account geographies as areas of opportunity. Today, we have five major geographies, as you can see on the slide, and as I said, all of these geographies are facing challenges, have different opportunities, but they have all contributed to our current results. We often talk about the fact that Europe was no longer contributing to the results of large groups. If you see our results, this is no longer true. For us, Europe, including France, and the nucleus of the AXA Group are very strong items that make us very proud, and this is also something that is growing in the right direction. Now, if we analyze the target range that we have chosen, as I said, we have chosen three of these target segments. First, commercial lines and at +2%, healthcare and unit-linked plans. We have progressed in all three areas. As regards the commercial lines, we have increased our revenue by 2%. As concerns health, we have increased it by 6% after 2016, which also pointed to a growth of 4% in this area. And as far as unit-linked units are concerned, we have increased our NBV by 7%. And Jacques Perretti will talk to you about this in a few minutes. This is certainly one of our major strengths in France because we are quite ahead of the market in France as concerns our new positioning on unit-linked. All of these growth developments are perfectly in line with our ambition 2020 that we presented in June 2016. Now, if we analyze results in detail, because, of course, in ambition 2020, we have associated our 2020 results to several objectives. We can see here that the underlying earnings per share stand at +7%. We had announced here a bracket between 3 to 7%, and I can say here that the 2017 result is in the at the upper end of our target range. If we now look at the available cash flow, i.e. brought in by local entities to the holding company, we can see that in 2017, we were able to generate underlying cash flows circa 6.3 billion euros. Once again, well in the upper end of our announcement, saying that we intended to increase an accumulated cash flow between 28 and 32 billion euros during the Ambition 2020 program, which is from 2016 to 2020. If we now look at the adjusted profitability of shareholders' equipment, we announced a bracket between 12 and 14%, and in 2017 we have exceeded this particular range with 14.5% of profitability in our shareholders' equity. All of this based on an extremely robust balance sheet, quite reliable, with a Solvency II ratio that stands at 205%, an increase of 8%, and way within the target range between 170% and 230% we had announced. As I said at the beginning, 2017 was an extremely important year for us as concerns our strategic choices. And these numbers point to the fact that our strategic choices here today are revealing that we made the right choices. We have changed the group's exposure to risk. We want to rebalance the group's exposure to financial risks, and we have here decided to implement an IPO project regarding our American activities to be able to release the means we need to reinvest in our chosen sectors, health, P&C insurance, and protection. Second major decision that we have made is, in fact, the confirmation, the renewed confirmation of the strategic role of our activities in asset management. There were many discussions amongst our audience as regards this change, but I think it is essential that we discuss these issues with a board of directors that is extremely expert in such areas. And we have clearly decided to remain in this business and to confirm once again how important it is for us, because asset manager provides the basis for success of our life insurance policies. We are a long-term player as regards our investments, and also the long-duration asset yields are difficult to source, and with AXA IM, we work with an entity that has the right strength and position to reach these goals. Another decision that we have made was to simplify our organization. How can we be closer to our customers? And we made the clear decision to reduce the hierarchical levels, to be closer to our clients, and to give more empowerment to our countries, because at the end of the day, our countries are responsible for the implementation of their local transformation, and responses are not at all the same everywhere. Every country must focus on their customer base, their customer requirements, and to make their own choices. For us, it was important to work more on transformation, because Ambition 2020 is based on two pillars, focus and transform. And quite clearly, these are the results I have just shown you. How can we further improve our operational performance? How can we offset the negative impacts of capital markets, certainly with the historically low interest rates? The second issue covered how we can transform our model. And this is the major question. How can we further enrich our service range with services around insurance coverage? Here we have two major stages amongst many others, because we have really focused on innovation in practically all areas. And I would like to give you here two examples that are very important to me. The first is the acquisition of Maestro Health in the U.S., the idea clearly being to grow from payer to partner. Being a partner means that we can help our clients, and our clients are both enterprises and individuals, to help them find the best treatment choices. Today we can see that 1 million people are protected under this plan, and if you have seen the different announcements by J.P. Morgan, Hathaway, and so on, better self-care is very important. Another example here is also the deployment of telemedicine. We have designed this telemedicine service 2 years back. And today, we notice in several countries, including in France, we have 10 million beneficiaries of this telemedicine service. And for the client, this is an extremely comfortable service, because they can call in any time. And in 70% of the cases, we can solve their case immediately. And this is a real innovation, as far as I'm concerned, and a change in our service range. We are no longer focused only on how we manage claims, 20% of our customers that suffer from such claims, but we can also cover 80% of our clients that do not require claim management and that still want to improve their life. All of this cannot happen on its own. We must think as partners more than as regards thinking based on how to face the competition. So we need to be the partner number one of the platform economy. These are perhaps our major competitors for tomorrow, but I see them as partners of today and tomorrow. This is why the strategic choice we have made is to grow in this area, and we are now the leader in the field with partnerships with over 150 platforms in over 20 countries, and we already have been able to deliver 100 million services for 100 million people. So we must also generate more innovations here. If we look at Uber, Uber is a major question. How can we help Uber drivers? How can we protect them? Because today they work under regimes that are not well known in many countries. So we need to reinvent their protection. If we take BlaBlaCar, for example, here, we have developed new solutions hand-in-hand with BlaBlaCar. This is a new approach for them, but also for us. And this will enrich our creativity and inspire us more. But AXA is not just a partner of this new economy. We are also a major social player. One of the world's major investors, we have a societal and civil responsibility. And if today I look at the balance sheet of my claims, I must say that natural events and disasters are increasing. And this, of course, has an impact on diseases, increasing the cost of diseases. So why not focus on redirecting our investments in the right direction? How, after the major decisions that we had made on tobacco in the past, for example, we have continued here within the context of the climate change summit held last year here in Paris. We are a leader in the battle against climate change. 12 billion euros of green investments will be undertaken between now and 2020, which is a multiplication by a factor of 4. Also, we will divest from new investments in coal and oil sand businesses. And this also comes from the fact that we no longer want to insure new coal-producing plant construction projects. And I am very proud that we stand as the leader in the financial world to really help civil society improve the quality of its life. Thank you, and the floor now is given to Jacques de Peretti.
Bien.
Right. Thank you very much, Thomas. Welcome all. It is my privilege for the second consecutive year to present the results of AXA France, which, as Thomas has just mentioned, the nucleus of our group. So I am going to present these in the traditional Japanese manner. I'll begin on the right-hand side of the slide, i.e. our income. Our activities have maintained their high levels of last year, and we have a growth of plus 4% in all. If I do not retain an exceptional income that we worked on in 2016 as regards group retirement. And this is very clearly focused on the preferred segments, as we call them today. On the one hand, protection and health with a growth of 6%, both in the national market and in our international units as well. And, of course, here, plus 14% in health. Of course, unit-linked with 13% growth. And finally, commercial P&C lines at plus 1%. And you know the French market perfectly well as regards the car fleets. Also, as regards profitability, still on the right-hand side of the slide. And why not this time talk about P&C insurance? You can see that our combined ratio is now at 94.6%, which is a difference of minus 0.4 points. Of course, we have a larger margin on new business. Also in view of our claims management in a context where, as you know, we were in France, of course, a major player to react to natural disasters and weather events. Here you can see that every one of these activities is a harmoniously assessed contributor to how we have made here progress and growth. Our policy to gradually divest from the euros and symmetrically the contribution of savings to unit-linked went from 10%-16%. In all, France will, of course, present here underlying earnings that plus 3%, which gives us plus 8% in life insurance. Of course, you guessed that the increase here is also borne forth by the growth in volumes, but also by the growth in margins. This, of course, has led us to increase our life insurance growth of 8%. In P&C, in view of the fact that our technical margin is improved with an improved solvency ratio, and this is more than offset because in the markets where our interest rates drop on a daily basis, and in all, we have maintained a quasi-stable result. Let us now look at our reason for being and at our ambition. In one sentence, our ambition is very clear: to simplify the life of our customers. Whatever we say, our sector, of course, can trigger anxiety, and the insurer is never present with his customers in the best times of these people's lives. Of course, here, when people underwrite a contract, the life of our customers must be made easy by us. This is our goal, our objective based on three pillars. The first, Thomas mentioned, we need to change the paradigm of our position. Today, we are blind payers, sometimes too blind, particularly as regards health issues, but we are not yet sufficiently in a partnership mindset with our customers. I will give you a few examples in a few minutes. Also, we would like to join our clients where they are. Their behaviors are changing. The risks that they need to face change. We first need to bring the solutions they expect. Finally, and this is our DNA, our history, our purpose, being a company that is engaged in its civil society and in its urban environment as well. Of course, here, the telemedicine example was given by Thomas. Today, this covers over 5 million clients in France. Our ambition is to extend this telemedicine to all forms of medicine, general medicine specialists, and also to improve the capacity to provide reliable diagnoses thanks to the different telemedicine offers that we can make available in rural and low population areas. Also, it was absolutely essential for us to implement what we call automotive services. We take, for example, your broken-down car to the mechanic in the garage, and we return it to you with a 10-year warranty as regards repairs. This is over one-third of our claims that today are solved and managed in this way. Access 24/7, you're all familiar with this. We know that our customers want to reach us when they want to, how they want to, and in this case, this has to be operationally feasible. Today, we can say that 90% of such interactions are possible, paid, refereed, and so on. Let us now return to what Thomas mentioned, the new behaviors amongst our customer base. Also the platforms, WeCar, BlaBlaCar, where we protect our customers as regards their vehicle, their physical health, and also here digital offers where we can offset the deficit between the protection of an employee today and the protection of an independent or self-employed person. And of course, we will accompany Uber on these topics again, and we believe that it is our societal role to participate in implementing these changes. Over the last 18 months, we have established over 100 partnerships in these on these issues, the ones I just mentioned. Partnerships in the most remote regions of France, for example, working with a collaborative platform called hotmachine.com, and of course, this helps us work with farmers. Cyber risks, quite clearly, we have 57% of our commercial customers, and we are the leader in France in this area, that these customers are truly anxious as concerns cyber criminality. Now, we, of course, here have disseminated the coverage against cyber risks to many of our clients, and we intend to go further to fend against this growing risk. And also, you must know that French enterprises play an interesting role abroad. They're growing, and it was very important for us to support these entities as regards protection in the areas where they have staff by complying with the rules that need to be abided by in such areas. And finally, an engaged enterprise, a company aware of its CSR. We have three issues here. The first clearly being protection. This is our DNA. We are here to protect our customers. And if we can avoid that people come up against negative challenges. And of course, we here have devoted over 10 million euros a year to be able to take a firmer stand in these different areas. I would like to give you an example that is dear to my heart. You know that today, internet presents challenges and threats to our children, threats that we as children had never encountered before. And we have implemented with the National Gendarmerie in France and the National Police, the availability of the internet in schools. And they have received an authorization to teach children how to properly use the internet. As regards protection, there's another important point. You know that insurers have quantities of data and are sometimes accused of being Big Brother. We have decided to return this data to our civil society, and we have built up Bacabac, a specific site where you put in your address everywhere in France, and we tell you how many robberies were performed, how seasonal they are, and we also give protection advice, because this is our business, to make sure that people are protected against such robberies. And we are truly working solidary engagement as well. I think that as regards our company, we set the example.
Last year, we had 8,700 collaborators who pledged to work in with civil society either during their moments off work or their moments at home during the weekends with actions on the environment. And this was done through AXA Hearts in Action, which is not a new entity, but it is always growing in strength. Finally, diversity. You know, we know that as AXA as a group and at AXA France as well, we're very much involved in diversity action plans to promote women in civil society in our company as well. Last year, we pledged an engagement which involves 45% of the 300 top management executives who in 2017 will be women. So in 2020, the top management members will be 45% female. Also, diversity as well, and we will engage in new areas of diversity all over the board. This engagement, of course, is shared by all of our collaborators at headquarters, but this is also very important, shared by our commercial advisors, financial advisors, and agents who today constitute the first distribution sales force of insurance. Thank you for your attention, and I will now give the floor to Gérald, who will share with you the global view of our the results of our activities.
Bonjour à
Good morning, all. As Jacques said, we in France here are lucky with high profitability, a combined ratio below 95%, with life new business at 34.5%. And this is due to our strategy that can be qualified as a targeted growth strategy in protection, health, unit-linked, and commercial lines. So in Europe, you will see that the story is exactly the same. Our underlying earnings here are increased by 2% with an improvement of technical margins, as is the case in France, and also a lower financial margin. You will see that this is something that we will find all over the board. Even though rates are returning to higher levels, the financial margins remain low. So P&C Europe-wide stands at 94.6%. Life, savings, retirement, 56.6%, bringing here plus 8 points in new business margins, as I said in my initial remarks. And you can also see at the bottom on the right-hand side of the slide where we show the share of P&C health and protection and their contribution to the net income. We are at 84%. And as Thomas was saying earlier on, this is what illustrates our lessened dependency on financial products and also our lesser dependency on financial markets and a larger share in our result of the technical results that we control well and that is decorrelated from financial markets. Asia now. In Asia, the underlying earnings stand at plus 7% due to improved technical profitability in most countries and a drop in expenses in Japan. Once again, in the middle here, profitability 78.3% of combined ratio in health, very strong profitability, and also life savings and retirement, a 70.6% margin on new business, up plus 5.6 points. And if you see the square on the right-hand side, 86% in PNC Health and Protection. The share here in our net income was increased, plus 1% in Japan due to a regulatory obligation, which is that we need to reveal the commissions that are paid out, which is why this year these savings margins and commissions that are paid out are pointing to less positive results. In Japan, a high potentials plus 9%, in Hong Kong plus 2%, with a drop in unit linked due to regulatory changes. In the U.S., we are very proud, of course, of the underlying earnings that have grown by 6%, which covers here, of course, our life insurance business and also our AB entity dealing with asset management. The 16% here of the underlying earnings are the result of the improvement in the economic environment with an increase in markets where the commissions in unit-linked have increased. And also there is an improvement of our technical margins and an improvement of our product mix at AB. New business has grown by 6%. The margins on these new business is at 23.4% due to the drop in taxes, and because the margins on new business is the current value of future flows, and the taxes will be lowered in the U.S., as you know. Net inflow at AB stands at 12 billion euros, and management fees have increased by plus 2.7% in a general environment where we talk about a global reduction in commission fees. Our commission fees have increased, and you will see this at AXA IM as well as at AB. Because we are focused, we have sold more retail products here at AB, and retail products, by definition, bring in more margin than institutional products. Internationally, we here have a growth of 20% in the underlying earnings. You can see that this represents 337 million euros in underlying earnings, and this result is up. Due to two elements in Turkey with a high financial net income, which is very good news, and also the growth in technical results and drops in costs in Russia, and also Mexico and Turkey, things are slightly different. So our net income is up 6%, excluding Turkey. Why am I excluding Turkey? Because you probably are aware of the fact that in RCE's automobile, a rule made it necessary for us to drop our prices significantly. And also, this has had an impact on the growth of our net income. And here the circle at the bottom here on the right-hand side, 82% in PNC Health and Protection, in line with our strategy. AXA IM now. AXA IM has strong growth in its underlying earnings at plus 16% due to an increase in our commission fees, also the improvement of the operational ratios, what I call the operational lever. When your fees increase faster than your charges and the ratio drops, because we now are at 70.8% versus 72.4% in 2016. So now let me give you a global view of the group's solidity. Thank you. As regards the group, as Thomas mentioned in his introduction,
we were essentially dynamic and voluntarily so because it is our strategy on unit-linked sectors, health and commercial lines, and also unit-linked products. So you can clearly see here that on the left-hand side, we have a new business in life with -1%. But in fact, this -1% hides very strong growth in unit-linked products at +7%. And of course, our margin here has increased. So even with a drop of -1% on the income brought in by new business, our capacity to make profits has increased. You can see as well here the income in health that stands at +6%, and our combined ratio goes from 94.9% in 2016 to 94.7% in 2017. And this, of course, gives a multiplying effect on our profitability. Now, as regards P&C income, we have grown by +1%. As regards commercial lines, aligned with our policy and our strategy, a combined ratio that is down, and this is all that much more remarkable that we have had here a number of weather events that have grown in number and significance. And this is because our model is very diversified. We are present in many countries, therefore we diversify our risks, and this is mutualizing the risks that we are focusing on in this area, and we are well protected. Now, the group's results. So the group's results stand at 6 billion euros, standing at +7%, and the consequence, therefore, is an increase of +7% in our adjusted earnings per share and underlying earnings per share, and the adjusted earning is at +8%. And we here have reached a new record on these three indicators. The main players, we have shareholders' equity close to 70 billion. Our Solvency II ratio is at 205% versus 195% in 2016. And of course, our financial ratings, Standard & Poor's, AA stable, Moody's, AA3 stable, and so on. Now, our general fund assets, you can see here the spread of our management, but we essentially remain a bond-based manager, the govies and related bonds. And here we, of course, maintain all of our engagements as regards our approach to financial products. On the right-hand side, you can see that this year we have invested at 2.1%, and we hope, thanks to the increase in interest rates, that we will be able to invest at a slightly higher rate. So dividends are up +9% at €1.26, and this gives us a yield of 5%, which is also remarkable. Distribution rate 49%, in line with our distribution policy set at between 45% and 55% of our adjusted earnings. This means that we are 1 point up over last year. Thomas, the floor is yours again.
Merci, Gérald.
Thank you, Gérald. In conclusion, you have seen that AXA has truly published excellent performance in 2017. This result is a new record in the group's history because for the very first time, we have exceeded the 6 billion euros, and these results are very balanced because all geographies have contributed to this growth, remarkable growth in our results, and I can see, and all of my team and all of our collaborators now are seeing that AXA is on the right track to reach the objectives of Ambition 2020. I would really like to thank all of our collaborators, all of our vendors, and in particular our agents, our customers, who have all contributed to this extremely interesting performance. And now the floor is at yours. Okay, who would like to ask the first question?
Hi, Jennifer Lillo from S&P Global. I would like to know, as regards the U.S., whether you are planning to make other acquisitions. And I saw yesterday that you are looking for an agreement to sell your activities in Azerbaijan. And do you have any other divestment intentions? Thank you for this question. As regards the U.S., you have seen that our strategy is clearly to put forward an IPO on these activities in the U.S. so that we can invest in targeted sectors such as health, commercial lines, P&C, and obviously we are focused on redeploying our means in specifically selected areas, markets where we are strong, plus six markets with high potential, and the U.S. is one of these B plus C markets. On your second question regarding Azerbaijan, we announced during our Investor Day 2016 that we intended to simplify and focus the group. We will focus on the 10 largest countries that have contributed to the tune of 80% to our results, plus six countries that are high potential markets. And on all of the other markets, we intend to change the way we manage them. We have many interesting and significant positions on these markets, and we need here to manage the countries by giving them more autonomy, because the situation in Luxembourg and Nigeria are very different. And here, local entities must, of course, adapt to their new requirements and focus on their own growth potential. And it is quite clear that there are several markets in our portfolio where we need to ask ourselves the question whether we have the right positioning on these markets or not. Azerbaijan is an example of such a case. And every day or every month, we wonder whether our positioning there is the right one or not. And the announcement regarding Azerbaijan points to the fact that we are highly focused on the implementation of our strategy and our focus on enterprises and activities that bring major potential for our future.
Yes, thank you, Thomas Hank. Two questions, if I may. The first on interest rates. You, Mr. Alla, has talked about the increase in rates in the U.S. This is being, of course, accelerated thanks to Mr. Trump's fiscal policy and the level of debt of the U.S. How will this impact your rate-based products over there? Now, as regards the platform economy that Mr. Buber mentioned, you say that you work with many of these enterprises. On the other hand, there are some that are becoming your competitors, such as Amazon that you mentioned. I still have not clearly understood why it's such good news, because they are becoming your competitors. They're taking a share of the potential cake. And is this not rather bad news for you?
Okay, I have to explain myself better, but before I do so, I'm going to give the floor to Gérald, who will explain what is happening with interest rates in the U.S.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Interest rates are up. Last night we were at 2.95% on the 10-year product in the U.S. Is this good news for us? Yes, because it's a little bit technical, but since we have liabilities that are longer in duration than those of our assets, we, of course, can benefit from the increase in interest rates. While for many, many years we had very weak contribution from financial products, this contribution may improve. It's great news for us. If we now take the question as regards the platform economy with a focus on health, what is the issue facing health in the particular case that you mentioned in the U.S.? The first is that medical expenses are increasing 2 to 4 times the GDP of a country. Everyone knows that this is not sustainable, and this is very often associated with a lack of efficiency of the system produced by the customer, who does not necessarily abide by the medical framework implemented, and how can we better control, in other words, reduce the increases of medical expenses. The American market is the most highly developed in this area. Today, AXA is not present on the healthcare market in the U.S., and we do not want to be present in primary insurance, in other words, paying claims in the U.S. On the contrary, we want to be present in a field that is called population health management, which is exactly a services area where we try to see how we can help enterprises to better control their healthcare costs. And this is precisely what Amazon, JP Morgan, and Berkshire Hathaway have said. They are suffering from the strong medical expense hikes, and this, of course, reduces the cost of care. So we have the same objectives, and it is a virgin market for us because we're not present there yet. And, of course, Amazon, JP Morgan, and ourselves, the objectives are well aligned, and I can see ideas and perhaps projects to work together, because JP Morgan also are bankers, not life insurance insurers, not healthcare insurers, excuse me. So, I had two short questions. The first involving savings for 2020, where you stand and what levers will you use. The second involves the increase in P&C activities for the group and for France. Is it possible to separate the volume effect from the price effect? Okay, the first question to Gérald, and because the second question had a French component, I will entrust it to Jack, and I can add outside of France. Yes. So as regards savings and the 2020 savings plan, we are moving ahead. We are absolutely aligned with our forecasts. Let me remind you that last year, when we announced Ambition 2020, in 2016, we had announced 2.1 billion in savings. Last year, in 2016, the first year of the plan, we had 0.3 billion euros in savings. This year, we have 0.5 billion in euros, and we are at 0.8 cumulated. And there are 3 more years left, and I'm sure that you remember that when we presented our simplification program of the group, we had announced a program of 300 million at the level of the holding company
simply by simplifying our structures. So this boosts our confidence as regards our capacity to achieve our savings objectives for 2020. Jack, as regards France, P&C, price effect versus volume effect? Yes, it's an excellent question. What we can say as concerns P&C in France is that our earnings are growing by 1%. This is good news on a market that is very competitive, but where price increases can no longer be as high as they could have been in the past. So we have been able to increase our tariffs by 1.5%, and globally we have a price effect that constitutes almost the entire reason behind the increase of our earnings. Our portfolio is holding up well, particularly in our commercial lines, in a context which today is extremely competitive in France. So as you know, this is something that we intend to continue to work on within a high-level profitability ambition, thanks to how we select our underwriting policies, and also as regards our tariffs, customer value, and particularly as regards individual risks. Thank you, Jack. And France is not that different from the rest of France. We see the same trends in Europe, too. Next question. Thierry Goubi, Tribune de l'Assurance. A question on Africa, continent where you have activities in Nigeria, Morocco, Egypt, I think, as well. And I wanted to know whether you are more at the observation stage on the African continent, or if you already have a strategy that has been prepared and designed for Africa to know whether Africa will play an essential role amongst your territories in the future. We are still in the at the observation stage, which is why observation is not an option for us. It is true that our position in Africa is strong, particularly versus our competition, because we are present in all of the important countries, and of course via our history of the merger between AXA and UAP, we are present in French-speaking Africa. We have strong positions in Egypt, Morocco, Algeria, Nigeria. These are the major countries, and in CEMEA countries as well, such as Gabon and Senegal. This is a very important continent as far as we're concerned, with high demographics, and this is why we focus on a growth strategy in Africa with precisely the same focus on health. That is the most important issue of the continent in question. And if we talk about health, we talk about highly innovative models, because as opposed to France, if we look at Nigeria, for example, we don't have the same levels in terms of hospitals or healthcare options. And we need to create a health model that is different from that of France, Germany, and Switzerland. And in this regard, it is a very important continent where we intend to grow. And as regards P&C insurance for enterprises, therefore the commercial lines we talked about this morning, this involves our partnership with AfriCare, which is Africa Special Risk, and a company that will focus on commercial risks, but not just in one country, but in several countries. For us, Africa is important, and observation is certainly not an option. Do you have any other questions? Hanka? The Germans are very productive this morning.
It's well known. Another question, a little bit naive, but perhaps not as naive as I'd like. Yeah, naive questions are dangerous questions. If you have already reached or exceeded your 2020 ambition objectives, what are you going to do in the next 3 years? Well, it's not really true that we have gone beyond the objectives that we had set for ourselves in 2020. The slide that we showed you with the four objectives, obviously we have exceeded one objective based on yields at 14.5%, and the rest of the objectives are aligned with our ambition. And in insurance, as in all other professions, early next year, the meter returns to zero. So today we have 7% of our underlying earnings per share in 2017. It's excellent, but as of January 1, 2018, we have to get back to work, and we start from scratch once again. And it's the same thing for cash flow, for profitability, and same thing for solvency. We always need to hold our position, to maintain our position, and to be comfortable with our results. Yes, being lazy, no. Another question from Germany, Frankfurter Allgemeine. Can you tell us a little bit more about your geographical strategy? You're saying that you are focusing on 16 markets, but I see that you are present in 64 countries. I really do not clearly see what you're going to do in on other markets. You cannot limit your business to only 48 countries. And as regards weather events, which ones were the most significant last year? And last question, perhaps on the services that you are now proposing, as is the case in health. I imagine that these are paying services. So your clients need to pay more money. This may not be included in the contract that was already accepted, maybe. Excellent question. Three questions, three people. I suggest that Jack talks about services and the paying services, and Gerald will talk about natural weather events, and I will talk to you about the geographical strategy. We'll begin not in Japanese, but let's start with the third question. Right, so you're asking an excellent question that relates to the funding of these services that we intend to apply to our contracts to put flesh on our action plan. Of course, these services are paying services, but they are, for the moment, included in the insurance premium. We here ask our clients in automobile, in the automobile segment, for example, to pay a premium as well. The model of tomorrow is not yet fully established. It may very well today evolve towards options that the client could choose to take on and to pay in addition. So today we have a request for tenders from medium-sized and large enterprises. They do not today want us to dissociate in our answer the price of the service from the price of the insurance coverage. Now, as regards the weather events, the cost here was 231 million euros last year. And in fact, France represented a large share of this budget, but also countries such as Mexico. You know that Mexico is a country such as the case in the southern states of the U.S., submitted to very intense and aggressive weather events regularly.
This represents 0.7% of our combined ratio, and it was 0.5% the preceding year in 2016. And therefore, it is certainly a slightly higher level, but this is why I said earlier on that versus our competition, much more focused on a certain number of countries, the cost for us was lesser. As regards the strategy on our geographies, Bruno Claverin, in charge of this international segment, is in the room, and I would like to give him the floor after I've given you a global overview of our strategies in the geographies. So you're absolutely right. AXA is present in 64 countries. If we segment our portfolio, because our obsession for the client is not limited just to the final, to the end customer, who is the enterprise or the individual, we also have the same approach internally. Therefore, we must constantly ask ourselves, what support is needed to ensure that a local enterprise can succeed? And between France and Nigeria, there are many differences as regards level and degree of support required. Jacques de Peretti manages a huge entity, very well established on the market. They do not need the AXA group to tell them where to work on increasing growth or not. And we must differentiate this based on the level of maturity of the BUs. Today, we have 80% of our revenue that comes from 10 countries. They are large, they are autonomous, and they can continue to grow without the group having to intervene and support them in their growth ambitions. Now we have high potential markets where we can see that the demographic density is quite significant, and this also gives us a means to assess the degree of wealth per person. We already here have very interesting markets where we are present. And, of course, this is where we thought that we needed to help these countries, to help them do better. And the group resources must be well deployed to assist and guarantee the success of these countries. Then there are other countries. The other countries are together in the international segment. And here I would like Benoît to talk to us about his plan regarding these countries in the international segment. It is very clear that we have never said that we were going to sell all of these countries. We have, on the contrary, countries in our portfolio that are very important for us, but that also require differentiated management. Benoît, maybe you can shed light on the issue. Thank you, Thomas. What you have just heard is diversity. This is reality. I'm lucky, since I've joined AXA, to work both in France and in Asia. And, of course, our activities in France and even in Asia, between Hong Kong and the Philippines, we do not manage our activities in the same way either. Apply this at the world, at the level of the planet, and we have major activities where AXA on emerging markets is a leader of the market, and other areas where our position is less firmly established or where the market is smaller. And this is diversity. That's the first key word. Secondly, we need to bring the necessary support to the group, where, of course, countries that are more mature, more developed, do not need the same level of support, and versus other countries where we are still today at the creation stage. And we have markets with women and men who are accumulating the same experience I was able to accumulate as I worked on different markets and in different countries. So high potential, you have Mexico,
for which the group is the group is very fond of, and we will be on an established growth form of support, and also on specific investments to try and find the best growth area for the entity. This is why in Azerbaijan, in agreement with the local teams, we have observed that the future of these teams would be rosier outside of AXA than within AXA. When the entity has the capacity to grow and where the market shows potential that are both aligned with AXA's strategy, we are prepared to rationalize our portfolio, our footprint worldwide, so that we can fund this growth that we believe in. Initially, Thomas mentioned Africa. It's a wonderful illustration. It's not on my market, but it is one of those areas where we intend to invest. And if we can do something that is effective, we will do it. If this bears growth today, and even more so tomorrow, Gerald shared the numbers with you, it's plus 1% growth this year, a ratio combined that has dropped by 0.3 points. You can see that in these particular entities, we have the same ambition to grow as elsewhere, and the same ambition for profitability, and we are absolutely convinced that in these portfolio, there are new markets that will appear tomorrow, there are high potential markets, and we should take several of these countries and as fast as possible bring them in to join the high potential markets that already exist. Thank you, Benoît. Perhaps we can seize the opportunity to see whether we have any questions either on the net or by telephone. Yes, we have a question by Luciana. Can you comment on the evolution of activities in Italy, and particularly as concerns AXA MPS and the bank? Gerald? Yes. This year, the activity was lowered, standing at minus 12% on our AXA MPS JV. But this is directly associated with the ban's difficulties. But as you know, the massive capital increase given by the Italian government has restored confidence. And we're quite optimistic because the second half of 2017 was a very positive one. So in Europe, I said that we had 30% on average growth in Europe in unit linked, and a good share comes from Italy. So an early onset of the year that was not positive, a second half year where things turned around in the most positive manner, and we're very positive for 2018. So once again, this is a 50-50 JV, so we have full convergence with MPS. Any other questions by phone or on the net? No further questions. Any questions in the room, ladies and gentlemen? One over there. Matilda from Reuters. Your plan to put forward an IPO for American activities during Q1. Can you please tell us what share of the capital will be on sale and what is the valuation? You are asking questions that we cannot truly answer for the moment. We have legal obligations that we need to abide by. I cannot give you any information as to this IPO. What I can say is that usually such events have a bearing on a percentage that is between 20 and 30, 35%. Unfortunately, this is the only information I can give you right now. Any other questions in the room? Not the case. One last case. Any questions on the phone or on the net? No other questions, sir. So in this question, I would like to thank you all for your attention and for your questions. And I wish you a wonderful day. Thank you very much.